Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Hey, it is so good to be with you this morning. It's Neil here, and I am so excited to preach the Word of God. I don't know about you, but I love the topic of the summer season, which is walking with God. In all the years that I've served Jesus, I don't know if there's anything more important. Of all the subjects that we speak about, teach about, this has got to be up there. The importance of what it is to be in His presence. If you love Jesus, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you can declare truly that Jesus Christ is Lord, then the deep desire of a heart has got to be that as we mature, that we walk with Him, because I've discovered that in walking with Him, I become more like Him. Hey, if I do my own thing, I mess up. I mess up all the time. But there's something about the presence of Jesus. I understand why the early disciples loved to be with Him. I understand why the common people came to hear from Him. There was something unique and special about Jesus. Yes, He's the Son of God. And the amazing thing is we say walking with Jesus. Think about this. How incredible is it that He desires to walk with us? Pastor Dan started off last week on this fantastic subject and spoke about the fact of walking home. He unpacked that familiar story from Luke chapter 15 of the two prodigal sons, the one who walked from home and the one who actually at home was still lost. And it was so beautiful to be reminded of the love of the Heavenly Father and the fact that the welcome mat is right there for us. And if you're listening to me this morning and perhaps you've wandered from Him, that once you serve God, you were involved in the things of God, but you've turned your back on Him. I want you to realize the welcome mat is out and you can come back home. But today I'd love to speak on the subject, walking with Jesus, what are you walking through? I've discovered in life, the older you get once again, that there are a lot of things in life that you may not get over, but you discover that through the help of God that you can get through. You'll never get through them on your own. You'll never manage by the hand of flesh, but the presence of Jesus and knowing that He's got you and He's holding you. And literally there are times when we need Him to hold us by our hand and lead us through certain things. The Bible says He leads us beside still waters. Well, that truly implies a nearness, doesn't it? When I was a young boy growing up, one of the things that I used to really enjoy was at the summer time, summer holidays, that we would pack up the caravan and we would head off to what we called then conventions. It was an incredible time because we would literally go from a convention to a convention. I guess we call them conferences now. Dad was probably the key speaker at most of them. And I would have this opportunity to catch up with friends and meet up with folks that we literally hadn't seen for a year, because what was unique about these situations is nearly every year people did the same thing. So we literally grew old together. It was a wonderful experience. And then as I came into teenage years with the youth groups, we would once again go to what we called these youth conventions. They would usually be over a weekend. And how exciting they were. Oh, you couldn't wait to see your friends again. But I remember very clearly that for most of us, there was this real desire. Yes, we wanted to see our friends, but we desired to have an encounter with Jesus. As we would be chatting in the cars or the minibuses, however we were traveling, we would begin to speak up our expectations. What do you want Jesus to do for you? What do you want to happen over these weekends? And I want to tell you something. Very rarely were we disappointed. Why? Because the expectation in our heart and spirit, began, as we began to speak, we would begin to sense faith growing and developing within that vehicle. Therefore, by the time we arrived, we were looking, we were expecting, and we positioned ourselves for God to speak with us. There's something beautiful about expectation. Our expectation was this: we're going to encounter God. We're going to know what it is afresh to know His presence. Now, I know the scriptures. I know that God is with us everywhere. God is with us right now in this moment. But I truly believe there are defined, specific times where you can truly say, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. There's nothing greater than the presence of God. I tell you, folks, you can have it all. If you don't have His presence, you have nothing. You can have very little in your bank. But if you have the presence of God, my friend, you have everything. And how beautiful is it to know that we can walk with God and we have this sense that Emmanuel, God is with us. Think about that for a moment. The creator of heaven and earth. God is with us. And just like in the Old Testament where we read that Enoch walked with God, that Noah walked with God, my friend, we know that because God is with us in 2022, we can walk with Him. Why do we need His presence? I'll tell you why. As a Christian, we have an enemy. His name is Satan, Lucifer, the devil. The Bible says that that thief, he comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. He wants to try and take us out. And what he can't do by taking us out, he'll do by trying to take us down. He'll get us focused on circumstances, on negativity, on disappointment, on challenge. Come on, can I get a witness? We've all been there. But I truly believe that walking with Jesus addresses the paralysis of the situation. If only I can get into His presence. If only I can spend time with Him. This circumstance might not look good. This challenge might be big, but my God is bigger and my God is greater. I'll tell you why I need to walk with Jesus. Because that enemy, he wants to get into my mind. He wants to get into my spirit. He wants to corrupt the things of God. But if I can only spend time in God's presence. And there's a beautiful scripture that I just want to draw a few things out of today. It's found in Mark chapter 2. It's very familiar to you. In fact, every time I read this scripture, if I ever preach on this, regardless of where I'm going in this preach, I always say these words: courageous carriers overcoming barriers. This is a very familiar story, but let me read it just to give some context, please. And again, he, referring to Jesus, entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together, so there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes who were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your heart? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed,'" here we go, "and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house." Immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Very early on in his ministry, Capernaum became headquarters for Jesus and those early disciples. It was whilst he was in Capernaum that Jesus delivered a man of a demon, severely demon-possessed, the Bible says. And Jesus prayed for him, and that demon came out. It was also at Capernaum where Jesus prayed for Peter's mother-in-law, and she was healed. How incredible was that? Jesus cares for the whole family. And that led to an all-night prayer session. After that, Jesus then moved into, the Bible just says, a certain town in Galilee, a certain city. And it was there that a leper came to him. The Bible uses these words in Luke chapter 5, full of leprosy. What must that have looked like? What must this individual have looked like? Unclean, unclean, ostracized from society, out of his home and out of his house, forced outside of the city. He had to give a cry of warning, and Jesus healed and cleansed him. Why? Because the Bible says he was moved with compassion. And as Jesus touched him, word began to spread about this miracle, and word was getting around about Jesus, this miracle healer. Well, in Mark chapter 2, Jesus returns to Capernaum. And the Bible says that word got out that he was back at his headquarters. Hey, I've been to Capernaum. It's a beautiful city. And I could just imagine as people were getting all excited. Guess what? Jesus is back. The guy that prayed for that individual that was demon-possessed, yes. The one that prayed for Peter, yes. Peter's mother-in-law, yes. He's back in town. And I tell you, no social media. Come on. No telephones. But somehow word began to spread and people began to get excited. Luke, the writer, tells us, and the power of the Lord was present to heal. Jesus was in the house. What must it have been like for the owner of that house to have Jesus there? We're not only talking about Jesus as a guest. We're talking about Jesus, the preacher, the teacher, the healer. Jesus is in your house. Friend, how would you feel? How would you feel to have Jesus in your house? I don't know what the owner of the house was like. I don't know if they started to clear space because they quickly realized that as word was getting out that people were beginning to appear from everywhere. Why? Because the power of God was present to heal. We need to realize something. When you walk with God, when you get into his presence, it's his presence that makes the difference. I'm so aware that around us now we seem to have pulpit without power. All around us we seem to have churches springing up all over the place, the church of this and the church of that. But we must understand, if Jesus is not center of all, we used to sing a song, Jesus, the center of it all. And my friend, we are just so determined here at Apex that one of the things that there is no room for movement, we won't negotiate on this, is Jesus is central to everything we do. Jesus has got to be in the house. I tell you, if you want an altar where people are altered, you need the presence of God. You need God to be there. When you have a real encounter with Jesus, I'll tell you what happens. You know the difference between church and Jesus in the house. Can I say that again? You need to catch this. When you know the presence of Jesus and God moving in your life, you know the difference between just having church and Jesus is in the house. And oh, I long for that day that we get to that place. Every single one of us is, hey, I love this building. I love the work we've done at Apex. We have worked hard over the years to make this a place of excellence that when people come in and they say it to us, oh, I didn't expect it to look like this. This is lovely. Folks, we appreciate that. But the most important thing is this, that Jesus is in the house. Now, this was no ordinary day. as expectation began to build, people started to change their plans. Oh, I planned to go for a haircut, but no, Jesus is back. I need to get into the house. I need to get into his presence. People organized their days weeks in advance. Now it was all changed. Why? They wanted to be in the house because they knew that they could take care of that other stuff at any other time. But they had to realize that this was the moment that Jesus was here. Remember, this is the Jesus that performs miracles. They were prepared to get to the house. And once again, I just get this sense of expectation and an atmosphere for miracles as people were desperate to get in. Why? I believe there were many people there who were sick. There were people who had needs. But there was an expectation, just like I said in my introduction, that something was going to happen. Oh, I know that as we move forward in 2022, as we walk with Jesus, there's a stirring in our heart that there's an expectation that something is going to happen. I so appreciate you watching us online. And I trust that even through these airwaves, that you'd get a sense not only of my excitement, but of the realization and the expectation in my heart that you can receive a miracle right there in your home. Why? Because the presence of Jesus is here. Yes, my friend, and right into your home, right into your living room, right into your kitchen. I'm praying right now that you would sense, that there would be an awareness, that faith would begin to rise. Why? Because Jesus is here. Jesus began to preach the word of the Lord, and the Bible says that faith began to arise. Now, we must catch this in the story. Four men came to the house carrying their paralyzed friend. You see, when you walk with Jesus, you want to help others walk with Jesus. One of the key things about a relationship with God is the more you walk with him, the more you desire to see others walk with him. You want to see people walk out of that sin and into a relationship with him. You want to see people walk out of that unforgiveness into forgiveness. You want to see people walk out of their disappointment into a place of hope. So when you walk with Jesus, you have a desire to see others walk with Jesus. And these four friends had a dear friend who was paralyzed, the Bible says. They didn't look at their friend and say, well, we're going to see Jesus, but sorry about you. They made a commitment to start carrying their friend to Jesus. The four friends carried the burden. Realize something. We don't know their names. They weren't in the spotlight. In fact, when they lowered their friend, they were up on the roof. Probably were hardly even seen. You see, when you walk with Jesus, you're not looking for the spotlight. When you're trying to get people to Jesus, you don't care if people know your name. When you walk with Jesus and you want to see people's lives changed and transformed, you don't care if anyone notices you at all. Why? Because the gift to you is the fact that you get to be in his presence. And as these friends began to carry this guy, it wasn't easy. He wouldn't have been light, but they literally became a burden bearer. Now, I've realized in life that everyone is paralyzed in some way. We're all carrying something as we walk this journey of life. But my encouragement to you is this, that we can walk through it as we walk with him. Walking with Jesus causes us to become more like Jesus. Now let me just take a few moments to say this. When you walk with Jesus and you want his presence and you desire his touch and you want to get closer to him, there are certain things that you've got to overcome. And we see a few of them in this incredible story. Now remember, they get to the house, but there's no room in the house. The Bible says not even at the door. So what did these friends do? Well, the story tells us that they lifted their friend up to the roof and began to break up the roof and lower their friend down. Here's some things that they had to overcome. They had to overcome the crowd. No room. A crowded house. And Jesus is teaching. Lesser men would have thought, well, there's no point. We tried to make it. I guess they could have looked at their friend and says, we did our best, buddy, but I'm sorry. No. When you walk with Jesus and you want others to walk with Jesus, you will do everything you can to overcome the crowd. You see, sometimes it's easier to fit in. Sometimes it's just easier to go with the flow. What's everyone else thinking? What's everybody else? Where is everyone else at? And sometimes you actually have to go against the flow. You see, when you come with a desperate situation, don't allow the crowd to stop you encountering Jesus. You see, maybe they can walk, and maybe they're fine, and maybe they don't have issues to deal with, but when you know that you're dealing with things that only Jesus can fix, you've got to push through that crowd. Someone said to me recently, oh, I would love to come to church, but I just think there's so many, everyone's hypocrites. And I says, well, thank you. You obviously must mean me as well. No, I didn't mean you, but whatever. Listen, it's not about the people in the house. It's about the fact that Jesus is in the house. And you might have to overcome people's opinions of you, people's mandates of you, people's agendas that they have for you, what people think about you. Don't allow that to stop you walking with Jesus. Oh, you're getting too spiritual now, I heard someone say to another friend. Oh, all they want to do is Bible study, and they're reading the Word all the time. I wanted to applaud them and say, how good is that? Don't allow your friend's negativity stop you from encountering Jesus. But they also had to overcome tradition. What do I mean by that? Well, tradition would say, if you want to get into the house, you go through the door. I guess if you're a little bit cheeky, you could have gone in the window. But the last thing that would have been expected was that they would have come through the roof. But you see, they were so determined to get their friend to Jesus. They were so desperate for their friend to encounter him. They were so desperate for their friend to get a miracle that they were willing to overcome the traditions. And I tell you, up here in the Northeast, this is a big thing. We're so traditional. We do things a certain way. It's the way we've always done it. If you want to walk with Jesus, if you want to encounter Jesus, if you're determined for the touch of Jesus, you have got to overcome some local traditions. You see, they saw the stairs, and I don't know who suggested it, but someone thought, hey, why don't we get up in the roof and begin to rip that and lower our friend? I wonder if one says, but what will the owner think? Could you imagine as Jesus is teaching and dust and debris and stuff begins to fall on the heads of everyone that's gathered? But they were bold. When you walk with Jesus, you get bold. And they were diligent. And I call this roof-ripping faith. Because they wanted to get that friend to Jesus. I tell you, that's not the traditional way. And I long for the day that in our church services that people are so desperate to encounter Jesus that during our worship, and we've seen this on many occasions at Apex Church, during the worship, the sense of the presence of God and people are convicted by the power of the Holy Spirit and people say, what must I do to be saved? Tradition says, you've got to wait until the preach. And then after the preach and the prayer, then we have the altar call. That's tradition. But I tell you what, you overcome tradition because you get that sense, God is here. Presence of God is here. And people need to encounter Jesus. Wouldn't it be great if on our Sundays, all around our country, people were walking down the aisle and saying, I must get saved. How about in our coffee times downstairs? How about just as we're beginning to gather, that the presence of God is so powerful that people are saying, what must I do to be saved? I tell you, that's how we get back to the New Testament church. We've got to overcome traditions. And God has been challenging me, because a lot of senses, there's a lot of areas in my life that I'm very traditional in. And I want that breakthrough. I want that walking with Jesus. And the Bible says when Jesus saw their faith. When he saw their faith. You see, my friend, your need may move God's heart, but your faith will move God's hand. You see, the need got them there, but it was their faith that ripped that roof. Zacchaeus had to climb a tree. The woman with the issue of blood had to push through the crowd. Simon Peter had to get out of the boat. They had to rip a roof. What do you need to rip up in your life to encounter Jesus? Oh, I could preach on that one. If you're walking with Jesus, you've got to overcome the risk of failure. Think about this. What would have happened if Jesus was unwilling to help? How would they get their friend out of that room? He's the one that's left there. He's the one that's coming through the roof. They were okay. They could have scampered right back down the stairs, but talk about being left out on a limb. What if the crowd had ganged up on them, but they were so reckless in their pursuit of their goal? They were so serious in their intent of getting their friend to Jesus, no distance, crowd, or wall was going to stop them. But you know, they also had to overcome prejudice. What do you mean, Neil? Well, to the Jews, a sick man was a man with whom God was angry. And they knew that the tradition was that people would look at his sickness and think that he was full of sin. What a burden or stigma to carry all his life. Is it any wonder that Jesus said to him, my son, your sins are forgiven. And something incredible happened. When he was healed and touched with Jesus, he was let through a roof, but listen to this, he walked out of the room. Because of the faith of these four men who walked to Jesus carrying a burden, when they presented that burden to Jesus and operated in faith, the man who was paralyzed, get this, walked with Jesus. What are you facing, my friend? What are you going through? What is it you need to walk out of? Maybe this morning you need to walk out of disappointment. Maybe this morning you need to walk out of cynicism. Maybe this morning you need to walk out of the words that have been spoken over your life. Maybe this morning you need to walk out of your fears. What is it you need to walk out of? This guy walked out of the room. And you can walk out of your situation when you walk with Jesus. I want to pray with you right now. My time is gone. But my heart and my spirit is so full, because I believe that lives can be transformed by the power of Jesus. You're listening to me right now. Perhaps you're sick. Hey, why don't you put your hand in that area of sickness? Perhaps it's something in your mind. Come on, just put your hand on your forehead right now. Whatever it is that you need the miracle, why don't you believe along with me that you are going to make a choice by walking with Jesus? You're going to walk out of that situation and into the abundant life that he has promised. Dear Father God, people are listening to my voice. Various situations, various things people are dealing with. So much going on in people's world. But Father, firstly, we understand the importance of that we walk with you. Why? Because so many lives depend on what we do. And Father, you give us the privilege to help those that perhaps are limping right now, or perhaps have no strength to walk, to help carry them into your presence. And Father, we are believing that in your presence there is still fullness of joy. In your presence, miracles can take place. Father, I'm believing right now that a miracle is taking place. Healing is taking place. Confusion is going. Fear is gone. Father, into hearts and minds right now, hope, the hope that the gospel brings because we serve Jesus. And Father, I pray that you would help us to walk with you in Jesus' name. You're listening to my voice right now. You've never given your heart to Jesus. Come on, you're honest enough to say, I don't know Christ. I don't have a relationship with him. That is the most important thing. Your walk starts when you commit your life to him, and his promise is that he will be with you. I would love to pray with you right now. Can we engage together? Yes, you, my friend, you sense God moving in your heart. Would you pray these words? Dear Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner, but you are my Savior. Forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart. I make you Lord, Lord of my life, Lord of my all. In Jesus' name, amen. That's the best prayer you'll ever pray. And now together, we will walk with Jesus.